Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us here studying God's Word. Any day studying the Bible is a good day. Basic information before leaving Earth. Don't go home without reading it. And if you go to WVFF Radio, you can catch our previous episodes starting Genesis. And you're going to hear some things you've never heard before. But I would like you to follow along in a King James Version Bible because that's what we're reading. I'm not saying you can't read any other one, but if you're following along and looking at the exact words we are, you will get the exact meanings that we're getting once it's explained to you, because lots of things have been hidden in this book. Lots of things your pastor never told you because he doesn't know himself. You got to read this book over and over and over and over again, and God will give you some understanding, you know, such as this is not the first time the age of man has been here. God has flooded this earth at least twice. It's right here in this Bible, starting in Jeremiah. There are two accounts of the creation of man, one on the sixth day, and then Adam was created sometime after the seventh day to mind God's temple, which was the Garden of Eden. It's all right in there, and you'll see that the accounts of the creation of man and Adam are very different. God made a special holy man and called their name Adam. It was one being. On the sixth day, he created male and female and told him to replenish the earth because obviously it had had people in the past and the flood in Jeremiah had wiped them out. There were two babies in the womb of Eve with two different fathers. Imagine that. It's right there in black and white. You gotta read between the lines and understand every word and sentence. There's all sorts of things in here. And if you look at it in its totality, it makes science and the Bible go hand in hand. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old because that was a part of the first age of mankind. So when Adam and Eve fell from grace and became sinful, then God said, go out and start to have children. There's a lot there. Please catch the first episode, WVFFradio.com. If you don't like what you hear, don't continue. But I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff in here. And it's not blasphemous. It's here in black and white. It's blasphemous that religion has hid it from us. And you have to go in here and see it. So we are up to the nation of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, God gave them one covenant. He gave the patriarchs, Abraham, he gave one covenant, the first covenant, and it wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they proved to God they could not do that, so he laid the law on them like a good father would. They didn't want to do it the easy way, they do it the hard way. The law is a very binding statute. It ends in bondage and death and separation from God. So the children of Israel went into Canaan, the promised land. God said, wipe the land clean of all the inhabitants or you'll be cursed. They didn't do it. They made a lot of them servants and they were cursed. Within 200 years, they fell into civil war. And then they demanded a king and God gave them Saul. And Saul didn't prove to be a good king. And now they were given David. Now, David is a wonderful man after God's own heart, but because he didn't keep everything in moderation, women and wine and just the pleasures of life, he has fallen on hard times because of his lies and adultery with Bathsheba. And God has cursed him. He's put generational curses on David's line. The sword will never leave your family. There will be internal strife in your family that will almost take the kingdom from you. God spelled it all out. And we are right at the point when these curses began to happen. Chapter 13, book of 2 Samuel. It came to pass after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So you think, oh, how is that possible? The brother and the sister, and she's a half-sister, but how is that possible? But the dynamics of families back then, it was very easy because the male children and the female children did not live together. All right, so he's fallen in love, so he thinks, with his half-sister. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimelah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very subtle man, very crafty guy. It's the guy you go to when you want to get things done. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? What's wrong with you, buddy? You don't act normal. And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. When thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat at her hand. So, all right, you pretend you're sick. And when the king comes in, ask if your sister can come and wait on you. It'll make you feel better. Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. She took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. Amnon said, I have out all men from me. So everyone else get out. They went out every man from him, and Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber of Amnon her brother. When she had brought them into him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. This is a very sinful thing that you're getting ready to do, brother. Don't do this. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Go ask the king. He'll let you marry me. Do this right. If you love me, and you got to have me, go and do this right. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So he basically raped his sister right there in his house. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. But he never loved her at all. He lusted after her. It was all about power.
He was under that spell.
Yes. And as soon as he had her, then he despised her and hated her. But she's no longer a virgin. She is no longer a pristine damsel of Israel because of what her brother has done. And Amnon said unto her, rise, be gone, get out. She said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. Because basically he just married her. Mm-hmm. But she says, it's done now. The evil will be in sending me away now. Might as well keep me. But he would not hearken unto her. And he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. He is a real jerk.
Yeah.
She had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. It's a very, very harsh fellows. Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom her brother said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, he is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So her brother Absalom knows now, but he tells her, keep it quiet. I'm going to deal with this personally. I don't want everyone talking about it. I don't want them talking about you. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's son. So he never confronted his brother about what he did, but he had a plan. He's going to wait. You know, they say revenge is best served cold. He's waited 2 years now. And Absalom came to the king and said, Behold, now thy servant hath sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. The king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, Why should he go with thee? And Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon, all the king's sons, go with, and all the king's sons go with him. So he's begging for his father, the king, to allow Amnon to go, because he's going to do away with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say unto you, Smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom said it to Amnon, as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man gat him upon his mule and fled. It came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, which was not true, but you know how the grapevine works. Mm-hmm. And there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son, for Amnon only is dead. So as one guy came in and gave him the real account of what had happened. And this was all done because Amnon had defiled his sister Tamar. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar, the day that he raped his sister Tamar, Absalom had planned to do this. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Well, I'm sure it made David feel a little better. Mm-hmm. Only one of them dead. But Absalom fled, and the young men that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come as thy servant said. So it is. It came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voices and wept. The king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmiah, the son of Ahimahud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. Now he's mourning for Absalom, not Amnon. He's got a special bond with Absalom. You'll see that here in a little bit. Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So David felt that Amnon had gotten his just rewards, which the king should have dealt out the rewards to his son anyway. But you'll see that David has he's a very good, powerful king, but he has a very soft spot when it comes to his children and cannot make the correct decisions concerning his children. He got a very weak heart when it comes to his children. Chapter 14, Book of 2 Samuel on WVFF 97.7 here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. Now Joab, the son of Jeriah, perceived the king's heart was toward Absalom. Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, find thyself to a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. So disguise yourself as someone who's mourning, someone who's dead. Come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And Joab is a sneaky critter himself. You'll see lots of things that Joab tries to orchestrate behind the king's back and tries to guide the king in certain directions. When the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, Help, O king. King said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead, and thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid, and they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. So they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. So Joab's made up a story here that there were two brothers. They were inseparable, but they got in a fight one day. One killed the other, and now all the neighbors want to kill that one, as should be, according to the law. But if they kill that one, then I won't have any, my lineage will end, is what she's telling the king. And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. The woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, he shall not touch thee anymore. So I'm going to put an end to this, and nobody is going to mess with you anymore. Then she said, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the rangers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. So David is over. I know this is a made up story here, but David has just overridden God's law. Blood for blood. If it's an accidental killing, you can go to one of the cities and be judged an accident and live in that city. But if this was a fight, these two guys got in a fight, one killed the other. So the law says this one must die. But David just said, no, I'm going to change that. I'm going to override God's law. And the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord, the king. And he said, Say on. And this is a little covert Nathan action, like we've seen when David had slept with Bathsheba, and Nathan came in about the story of the little lamb and the rich man. Mm-hmm. She's basically here talking about David and his situation with Absalom and Amnon. And David is apparently very naive to stories. He didn't catch on when Nathan was talking, and he's not catching on yet either. And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? But the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. So now she just blurts it out. This is about you. It's really not about me. For we must needs die and are as water spit on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Yet doth he at device means that his banished be not expelled from him. She's basically saying, you're the king. You have a son that's been banished of his own accord because of what happened with his brother. You're the king. You can bring him home. You just basically overrode God's law when you were talking to me a minute ago. Now therefore, that I am now come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid, and thy handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid, for the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comforted. Bowl. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore thy lord, the Lord thy God, will be with thee. And the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. The king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? I know who put you up to this. I've seen this many times. This smells like Joab. And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, he put all these words in my mouth of thine handmaid. So if you're mad at anyone, you can chop anyone's head off, do Joab's, not mine.
Yeah.
To fetch about this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this thing, and my lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all the things that are in the earth. And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, O king, and that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. But Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. Now Joab, with all his faults, noticed that this was really bothering the king. The fact that his son was in exile. Every day he could tell. David had a big heart, and he wore it on his sleeve. When things weren't right with him, you could tell. So Joab wanted to get the king's countenance made better. And he had to go through all of this scheming to do it, and it turned out okay for him. King could have gotten very angry, but he didn't. The king said, let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Bring him back. Tell him to go to his house and stay there, and don't come and see me. But in all Israel there was none to be so such praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So this was a royal, beautiful man, had big, long hair. When he polled his head, for it was at Eber year's end, he polled it because the hair was heavy on him. Therefore he polled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. That's quite a lot of hair.
I'll say, is this a giant we're talking about?
Oh, it's some heavy duty. He's got some thick locks.
Yeah.
And they probably go down to probably the back of his knees.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.